Hey there, thanks for pressing play on this AHDB podcast. So, bit of news. Food and Farming and Agonomics have officially been retired. No more episodes coming. But wait, before you wander off into the podcast wilderness, we've got something new, shiny and weekly. It's called The Ag Show. It's got all the good stuff. Farming chats, fresh insights and a whole load of fun. New episodes drop every Wednesday at midday. Just search The Ag Show wherever you get your podcasts to give it a whirl.
Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Welcome to this four-part series where we look at the ins and outs of the AHDB flagship knowledge exchange programme, Roots to Resilience. So far in the Roots to Resilience programme, we've had activity on business planning and finance, succession and communication, ecological functioning, and that's without mention of the world-renowned Ranching for Profit course, which we've run once per year so far. I'm Amy Hughes, and I'll be talking to farmers from across the country who've been involved with the programme to find out what they've got out of it and to talk us through the changes that they've made to their businesses and their lives as a result. Today, I'm going to be talking to the wonderful Angus Duncan and Joe Nellis from up in Northumberland. And as always, we're going to start with an introduction to the farm business from Angus.
We're farm up in mid-Northumberland. It's a 5-family partnership. So that's Duncan and Zoe, my mum, Enid, Janice, my wife, and myself and the partnership. Organic sheep and beef farm, forage based, been organic since 2005. We've got the next generation just coming into the farm. Joe, who's joining us today, is my son. And then we've got young Duncan coming back this summer after they've both been away working on other farms for the last 4/5 years, building up sort of experience on other places. And they're coming back to join in with us. So that's exciting times ahead. And I've got a daughter, Lily, who is just turned 20. She's not coming back to the farm. She's took a different route at the minute anyway. And then Duncan has two daughters, Imogen and Phoebe. We're not sure what their career paths are.
They're just young at the minute.
So we are predominantly sheep and beef, suckler cows, about 260 suckler cows. They're finishing the steers off grass at 18 to 20 months old or selling them store if they don't make it. The sheep enterprise is a enclosed flock of pedigree clins. We breed rams and they are signet recorded. We also do about 1,200 free-range organic turkeys for Christmas alongside a couple of holiday cottages.
Brilliant. So you've plenty going on then. And Angus, you were part of when Roots to Resilience kicked off within AHDB, we dragged you into the steering group, didn't we? So you've sort of been guiding us and telling us if you think we're way off and various different things from the word go. So what, I suppose my first question is, when you heard about the Roots to Resilience programme, what was it about it that made you all want to get involved in some way?
Well, for me, I'd been sort of stalking Ranching for Profit for quite a while prior to that, thinking that one day in my dreams it would be a fantastic thing to head over there to do it. Or if not me, then to get the next generation over there to have a go with it, because it just looked so unique. So when I heard that there was potential for them to bring the programme over here, like, I just thought this was just too good an opportunity to miss. Its uniqueness is its selling point, and I think it's something which I haven't seen replicated in this country so far. There's loads of good things going on in this country, don't get us wrong, but it was different. As far as with Duncan and Joe, they tapped into it straight away as soon as when they seen what was going on and about Ranching for Profit, heard about it, they tapped into it straight away and were both keen. In fact, they went to the very first one. I couldn't get because it was at Christmas time and we're full on with poultry for Christmas. So the very first one, two years ago, Duncan went with Joe. Yeah, and it was as good, if not better, than what we could have hoped for.
And Joe and Duncan, you came to that one together.
We felt that it would be though Joe and I work together all the time, that little bit of distance of not mm-hmm. father and son going, like it takes a little bit of that kind of real closeness out of it, even though we're working in the same business. And I did notice there was one or two people who had tried to bring multi-generational folk along, mm-hmm. but I think it's a pretty healthy thing to do. You know, it's definitely on our radar to get them understanding the business early on.
And Joe, what did you think? What was the conversation like on the way home from that course?
I mean, on the way down, because I hadn't been home for very long, I didn't have a great understanding of how the business worked at that point. So there was quite a steep learning curve for us when I went there for those few days. But on the way back, I definitely came away understanding how farming businesses work a lot better. And then it just, the conversations on the way home, well, I probably just felt more involved in them because I could understand what was like, what was happening, what things meant, how things worked. I think the best thing was probably the enthusiasm that Dallas brought over, like just sort of light a bit of a fire, you know. They're very good at that over in America, having unapologetic enthusiasm.
So let's just dig into that a bit more then, Joe, because as you said, like, I personally think it's so important if there are two generations to have them both there, because there's no point, and I get it's not always that easy, but there's no point one generation coming and then the message can get sort of lost in translation, can't it, once you get home? But we obviously split you and Duncan up when you came. You were both on separate tables. And as you said, you haven't been in the business that long and it was a bit of a steep learning curve. But how did you actually find the course? Did you, I suppose I'm trying to get it out of you as to whether you felt awkward or did you, you know, how was the learning there and how did you sort of get on with that?
Day one was incredibly awkward. I felt so uncomfortable there, just like severe imposter syndrome. But by day two, it was completely different. The exercises that we did, whether it was in with tables or with different tables and stuff, you just settled right in and it was great.
And all three of you have been involved in the discussion groups, haven't you, off the back of those courses? How have you found them?
It's been good because the people that I've been with, whether that's been due to numbers or whether it was deliberate or not, yes, they were on the course, but I didn't necessarily speak to them very much the first course. And then when we went to the discussion groups, it was good to have different people's opinions, like fresh opinions every time. There'd be one or two people who were still in my group who remembered, who you remember talking to last time, and it was nice to see how they were getting on, like what changes they'd made, and then for them to see what changes you made. And it was good because they were quite intimate as well, so mm-hmm. You could really dive deep into people's businesses and like the people's sides of things and whatnot.
I think that's what I kind of really liked about it, and the return one as well, was that how they handle the actual sort of soft desk skills, mm-hmm. which is an interesting thing that, well, I definitely think I should be getting better at that kind of stuff. And I think that kind of communication stuff and personal stuff was one thing that I found very interesting. And I did come away feeling bloody lucky with the family setup I've got it.
Yeah, for me, I really enjoyed getting right into the guts of the financials of it. And I think that's what them add-on meetings allow you to do. You know, when mm-hmm. you've gained the confidence and the trust in the people that you're with, being able to dive into people's businesses is pretty fascinating. But really, you take so much from it as a, even if it's not your business, you're working with people who've got so many different experiences to yourself in different farming situations and different family setups, that getting into the guts of the finances is fascinating and, you know, really rewarding. I think every business can take away a lot from that. It's just learning to feel confident to open up about that sort of stuff, which we are, as an industry, we're not great at that, but I thought that was a real plus. An important part of it, I think, you know, on the financial side as well.
When Roots Resilience was first born's a terrible word. When Roots Resilience was first developed, Angus, I know you don't like me saying this, but it came from one of your tweets. Well, it's that one of your tweets sparked the development of this programme, and you put that the appetite to take control of our own destiny feels strong in weeks like this. And that was in relation to some other work that we'd done. But the soft skills bit, Dunk, that you mentioned, I think was the crux of the programme initially for us, in that you can teach the technical, and there's a huge amount of really gifted people in the industry that can give you the technical information to do stuff. But to take control of your business, there's absolutely, as you said, two parts. You can't run a business without knowing what your finances are and looking at them a bit differently. And the second bit is this soft
what people call soft skills, which aren't soft skills at all, are the hardest part of everything, aren't they? The people side of things. And you guys, I'm not going to say you're lucky, because you must have worked at it at some point without even realising, but your family dynamic is pretty good, isn't it? You know, compared to a lot of people, as you said, Dunk, there are people in far worse situations in terms of communication and falling out and everything else. But the people part of it is huge. So you came to the Elaine Fraser workshops that we did, which were on communication and succession, and we put those on knowing that they were very, very different, as Ranching for Profit is, but Elaine was as well, very different to anything I think that had ever been done over here. Like, we have some brilliant experts on succession, but in terms of actually giving training for people to be able to go home and have difficult conversations, what did, talk us through those. What did you think of those ones? Because I know you brought wives.
I think, as far as that goes, I think what we never taken it for granted, but what it reinforced was as well about how important the other members of the family who aren't necessarily on the ground farming are to us here, to keeping it all light, you know. And there was an interesting bit on one of the Ranching for Profits posts the other week about the mother and about a farm, and it's a lot about the mother, be that the mother of the kids who are here now or beforehand, you know, about just keeping everything together like this. And I don't think you can take it for granted how important, like, Zoe has been in all this, and Janice, and they, you know, Joe's partner, Lauren, now coming in. She's not working in the business, you know, but we've just been through lambing and carving, and just the idea that you've got somebody to go in at night to and just share your load with, and then taking it with, being on the journey with you. So, yeah, that one, Elaine Fraser, was it sort of reinforced about how important it is to make sure that everybody's okay, not just the farming business, but everybody's okay, and being honest with each other, not having secrets. You know, we do have more family meetings now. We have more what he's working on the business, and that includes that everybody's involved in that. So people get the chance to just say things. And sometimes you can go and you think there isn't much of an agenda on one of their meetings, and yet we had one only a couple of days ago, and it went a couple of hours, and it could have gone on longer. And it's just, even if it's something like with the part of the business where people aren't involved in, I think it's important that they know what's going on. They have a handle on what's happening.
Something that we've maybe not taken notice of enough is the older generation's personal financial independence. If they're going to want to actually have an ability to kind of not leave, but like step back or step away or leave, you know, whatever's agreed, you want to be in a position where you are not like a constant lifelong employee of the business financially, or certainly you're not actually tied to doing that, where you have options of just going, right, well, that's, I'm okay, I can walk away if you want to stay, or you're still some of use to the next generation. But that ability not to be financially dependent on them, I think it's probably something that I took away from it.
Yeah. Joe, what about you? What, as a younger generation, did it give you any tools and tips for communication? Because it can be daunting, can't it, coming back into a business, especially a business like yours that is well established, and your dad and Dunk are firing on all cylinders. What did you think about them?
The thing is like coming back here, as you say, you know, both of them are still young enough to be, like, they've got a few work years left ahead of them, and I'm still quite young, but being able to feel like I can throw my ideas forward, try and mix things up a little bit, despite them potentially being here for a few years yet, that was quite nice. And also how important keeping the relationships as good as they are, like keeping them good, especially with my cousin, with Duncan coming back. It's quite apparent we're different personalities, but that doesn't mean that, well, it's definitely a good thing that we're different. Trying to understand each other and communicate is vital to keeping things healthy.
Was there anything in that, Joe? Because one of the things that I took away from Elaine that I just found fascinating was, I mean, we're in a situation at home where there appears to be a lot of resistance from the older generation. And I suppose when you're in that situation, you just think you're just being awkward. And I think Elaine totally opened my mind to that, in terms of how scary it can be sometimes for the generation that's thinking about stepping away. And, you know, it's been the whole life. What did you pick up from that, Joe? Did you pick up anything when she was talking about that?
We'll get frustrated that things didn't just happen, why things can't just change straight away. You know, when people have put decades of blood, sweat and tears into the business, You know, it's no wonder that people are reluctant just to change things when, like, a fresh body comes in. The whole family are great at, like, if you've got a good case for something, genuinely listening, and we'll all talk it through. So it's not really, like, there's never been much resistance to anything, or there never is. So I don't particularly feel like, you know, I'm having to battle against anything. But it does make us understand why there would be a bit of pushback to some things.
Yeah. So I think we had about 250 people across those five events, maybe. I can't even remember. Quite a few. And the last one landed on the day that the new budget came out with all the inheritance tax stuff that came through. And so I feel sure if we'd have done them about 3 weeks later, we would have been booked out for those events. But there were a lot of people rang me beforehand that said, you know, my neighbour needs to come to this, or my friend needs to come to this, and I can't get them to come. In your opinion, as a family with good communication and all working pretty well together, how do you think we get more people engaged in that? Or what words of advice or reassurance would you give to people that are maybe worried about engaging in events like that?
I spoke to people who were there and who had been to them, who felt like that prior to coming. There is examples of that situation where, you know, people are going, I can't believe I've got them here, but I've got them here. And, like, you know, it's really interesting to know how that went for them. And a couple of the cases that I've got in mind, the people said to me, says that, you know, like, when there was no silence in the car on the way home. Like, I took them home and they were just full of it and opened up and spoke about things that they'd never spoke to each other before about. And that, to me, was gold, really. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, if you can bring one person and change it like that to get conversation going, then that's gold. And I think that's all you can get across, is, like, what is the worst thing that can happen? Ultimately, the worst thing that can happen is nothing happens and it continues like it is. But to go home and have conversations like that, and, okay, it might not work and a lot might not change, but you're doing something about it, you're trying. But in the cases of the people that I spoke to, it had made change. That is gold, you know, if you can get conversation going.
Yeah. Well, I would say as well that it's, when we talk about it, like, we sometimes maybe give the impression it's like lessons in crisis management, when quite often it's just about working smarter and using better ideas and making, well, whether wealth's the right word, but making the right decisions for the family. You might think you've got it all great, and you maybe do, but there might be just a little nugget in there. You know, I mean, I know I came away thinking, if we haven't just put enough aside, like, for
maybe.
Wow, put enough aside. You know, and, like, even though we feel that our sort of relationship side of it, and we like to think that we're very open to new idea, you know, we've just been DNA in a thousand lambs. You know, so we're open to new technologies and what comes along, and you feel you have that sort of, but then to make it actually work, you sometimes need a little bit of a steer. Got to give ourselves a little bit of a slap here, because otherwise we are going to be employees for the rest of our life. Well, I don't know. I haven't got a plan, actually. I just have a thought that maybe I should have a plan. So the plan's in, you know, I don't know.
A work in progress.
I haven't really found anything after I stopped playing rugby there.
But that's half the battle, isn't it? Having that thought, because I think for a lot of people, when they're on the farm day in, day out, you don't even have the opportunity to think a bit differently, do you? It's just, you've got your head down and you're just going for it. So a thought is better than nothing, as far as I'm concerned. It's a start, isn't it? And Joe, what about you then, from the younger generation? What did you have any conversations beforehand about trying to get people there, or people that were interested?
I have conversations about it often with people, but there tends to be a bit of resistance to it. I think once people understand that, as soon as they take the first step, it's by far the most difficult one. Just go into it, seeing what people have got to say, because you probably, realistically, you do have spare time. A lot of people will have the spare time if they put it aside to go to these things, if it matters to them enough. Once you get there and just listen, it takes half a day of your whole life just to go, and it could potentially really, really change things for you.
It's interesting what you said about just listening, because I think I was speaking to a farmer the other day trying to get them to come to something, and they said, well, if you're involved, you're going to have us doing all sorts of stuff. And I, just to reconfirm that all these events are built with different learning styles in mind. So you can actually just come and not say a word, can't you? And just listen. Like, you're not going to get roped into doing anything that you don't want to do. If you want to ask questions, you can. But like Elaine, she had you texting all your questions through, didn't she, if you wanted to. So you didn't even have to ask them in front of people. So it is, just to reiterate, it is a safe space, and I'm not going to have you doing anything that you don't want to do. Right, let's talk about what you've actually done then. How has the programme Roots to Resilience impacted your business on a tangible level? What have you done anything different as a result of being involved? You've said family meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's stopped us doing more, if I'm honest. We've stopped doing things. There's a lot of things we were quite a widespread business. We had poultry, pigs, you know, we've done a lot of different things. And I think what it reaffirmed to us was that sometimes you've just got to stop doing things, and sometimes they can make the biggest changes. I remember one of the things that said was, if you are adding another enterprise or another part to your business, is it just another job? And if it's just another job, is it worth it? And, you know, and looking at that, is it just going to make you busier? And I think it gave us confidence to stop doing things and then take a look at and actually start drawing lines through things that we did do, still things we can't stop doing. But we used to do a lot. And some of them, to be fair, some of the things we'd stopped doing prior to that. But, yeah, that was one of the take-homes for me.
Streamlining things as well. I mean, the turkeys. Because we're having more meetings, we're able to talk through how things work, like different enterprises are working on the farm and what parts people aren't enjoying, what parts people think could be worked on, instead of just going day to day, just keep doing the same thing. Yeah. We're actually able to make them more enjoyable for everybody, simplifying things.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully for them decisions, we've been using a bit more of a structured meeting. Everybody gets to say on, you know, I suppose the turkey one this year was a classic, really. It was nearly going to stop doing it. But in the end, what we've done, we're pruned down the whole process. So we aren't brooding now. We're getting them in at 6 weeks old. That we were just about to start in a few weeks' time. The turkeys will be arriving and we're brooding, and it's pretty full on. It's not our skill set. I think that's the other thing as well, actually. What is your skill set? And if that isn't what you're good at, then, you know, somebody else probably should be doing it. You should be better off paying someone else to do it. And that was the brooding side of the turkeys was a classic example of that. Mm-hmm. But to have a structured meeting where people can have their say, and actually you found out that some people really dreaded it. I think we knew that, but officially sat down and said, well, this just strips the joy out of, you know, and we're like, well, that's no good. That's no good. That's not what we're here for. You know, everybody works hard enough anyway without it being crap.
I think it might have been slightly different last year, but last year we came out of lambing and calving. You more or less go straight into brooding turkeys, which is a lot of up and down through the night, certainly for the first sort of 10 days. And like, it was all a bit grim last year. It was wet and never really let up. And, you know, we might have had a different perspective, but I think I'm very pleased that we haven't got turkeys arriving in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, because it was really cold, and we had the brooding pen set up in it, and they happened to arrive on Janice's birthday. Little things like that. Yeah,
came up with some really interesting phrases, going onto yards that are full of monuments to tax avoidance. Like little things you come away with, and you think, interesting little snippets.
Yeah,
and that I thought Dallas has a really good way of, you know, encapsulated in a phrase that sticks in your head.
Yeah, that the tax one that stuck with me was, if you are going to buy something to avoid tax, make sure it makes a tax situation a lot worse the next year.
I get one thrown at me all the time from our team when I'm having a little hissy fit about something. It's different. It's not wrong, Amy. It's just different. That's what I get. That's Elaine that said that. So, yeah, it is. It's funny, isn't it, how those things stick in your head. Right, I'm asking everybody this question, so we'll finish with this one. Angus, you've already given me a response, but I'd be interested to know what Joe and Dunk think. If you had to sum Roots to Resilience up in one sentence, and nobody's done it in a sentence, so I'm not going to hold you to that, how would you describe it?
I think it's a course that is totally focused on business and family, that everyone could get something out of, comma.
I don't know, a sentence. This isn't going to be a sentence.
No, it's all right.
It focuses on what you can do. It's about controlling your controllables and not shoveling blame on to whoever. You know, your business, no matter what happens to, like, market shocks, you know, what you're buying, your overheads, things like that, you really should be in a position to ride. A strong business rides them sort of things out.
Yeah, and you're in control, and that's, yeah, one of the three principles is ownership. Like, there's nobody, unfortunately, increasingly more so, nobody coming to save you, is this, so you've got to do what you want to do and in the way that you want to do it. Joe, I can see you squirming there. What am I going to say?
It's a course that builds business and family resilience and relights enthusiasm, I think, within the people that go to it. That's me.
That's a sentence, Joe. You're the first one that's managed it. And it was a good sentence. Gus, do you just want me to read yours out, or can you remember?
Well, I mean, you could have just said, Gus, do you want to do your... Have you thought of a one?
Gus, have you thought of one? What's your
answer? Yes, I have, actually. I think it's a neatly packaged toolbox full of the most important components to help you and your family build an enjoyable, profitable and resilient farm and business.
So that was Angus Duncan and Joe Nellis. What a brilliant family, and have all really got stuck into the Roots to Resilience programme and got a huge amount out of it. Don't forget that this is a four-part series, and the next episode will be with Emma Graves, who will be telling us about her experience of the programme.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.